Welcome to Welcome to Hell, the podcast where you send us your tales of sin and we offer our infernal judgment. Join us each week as we celebrate the salacious, bask in the bitchy, and enjoy a good old-fashioned gossip. So you tripped and got fed through a wood chipper.
Who hasn't? You look lovely.
Don't you just? So brush off what's left of that skin and step through the fiery gates. There you will find me, Daniel Fox, comedian, retired twink, and Hell's resident receptionist.
And me, Dane Buckley, comedian, black belt in contemporary dance, and rogue angel.
Darling.
Hi, darling.
Very exciting episode this week. It is our first guest episode.
First official guest.
The podcast. I think I hear a new soul plummeting down the chute as we speak.
We've got a guest, haven't we?
We do. Once a month, we're inviting a celebrated sinner to join us in the boudoir, and we are starting with a very fabulous one. Why don't you tell us about them?
Our very first guest is one of the nation's most cherished comedians, presenters and dapper dressers. Hot on the heels from the release of his gorgeous autobiography, Too Much. He is currently touring the UK with his show Completely and will be on all over our screens and airwaves as the host of The Apprentice, You're Fired, as well as his very own Virgin Radio comedy show. Smarten yourselves up, sit up straight, get the good china out and welcome to hell, M&S's very own Sir Tom Allen.
Hi, Tom.
Well, hey. What a lovely welcome.
Welcome to hell.
And can I just say, as a podcast, this is too much.
This,
you two, me. How many candelabras have we got in here?
For anyone joining us just on audio, you can find us on YouTube where you will see two pewter candelabras, about nine red and yellow. Like we're in, it's a real boudoir vibe going on.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it is everything you imagine it is.
A couple of lads.
Just a few lads hanging out.
We laugh so much because before us is a football podcast in the studio.
I think it's even rugby, isn't it? We can't even
tell. There's football for us and the one before that is the biggest rugby man we've ever seen.
Gorgeous creatures.
When we first arrived.
What time is that one?
When we first got here to be shown around, the two of us were like, oh, and then we could put our candelabras there. And then this man with the hand the size of like my face.
We lost an arm.
Came over to shake our hands and we both went, hi.
Oh, it's lovely too.
I haven't washed my hands since.
Oh, I can tell actually. Well, that's nice. You've been making yourself friendly with
available. Tom, yes. Down here in hell, we like to start each episode with a little drink.
Oh, good.
Will you be partaking?
I do like a welcome drink anywhere I go.
We take it in turns to make them. Okay. I like a very bitter, very adult, very, very sophisticated drink.
His tastes like perfume.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Acrid. Dane likes a sweet one. It's Dane's turn.
Oh, you see, I like a sort of Campari-based cocktail, which the time I think Campari does taste like Elnett being sprayed in your mouth.
Yeah. I always say this. In a film, when someone poisons a drink,
yes,
that's what a Campari and soda tastes like.
Yes, that's so true,
and I love
isn't
that.
It? A bitter elixir. Yeah. Yes.
That's not what this is here today. This is like Haribo liquid form.
Yes, I feel like I've gone to a trashy nightclub in Croydon.
Yes.
Yeah, basically. Oh my God, yes.
Which is also a form of hell.
Here is one of your favorite.
Cup for you.
Masculine beaker.
Now, chilled. All right,
I called this. Well, have a taste first.
Yeah, see if you can.
I've heard that before. 5 alive?
Yes!
that's not got any alcohol
Kiora.
In it.
Kiora.
Yeah, basically.
It doesn't taste...
Capri Sun?
This has...
Yes, Sunny Delight.
These three have a pint of alcohol.
Oh, great.
Isn't that crazy?
That is
are you, you're not driving tonight.
No, I do have an appointment with my therapist at 8 o'clock tonight.
Well, there will be tears.
Really? There will be. So, nothing she's not used to seeing.
But you will feel this creep up on you. You absolutely will.
There's a warmth. Like a faint.
Well, there's cough syrup in there as well.
Oh,
it's orange juice.
Is there really?
No, there's not.
Oh, I think you might have got a little tickle.
This is a mead mosa.
Oh, please.
She is mead, Irish mead. She is Cointreau. She is orange juice.
And Deborah Meaden.
Yeah. but she is very strong, but she's dangerous because you don't feel it.
It literally just tastes like orange juice.
That's why I can't have sweet cocktails, actually. Right. I have to have quite bitter ones. Mm. Maybe a martini or a
Negroni. Because you're going to be dancing on the table.
Because I'll just down that and I'll go, oh, that's fine, I'll have another one. And then I'll think, why am I asleep on this bench?
It genuinely doesn't taste...
You saw the alcohol I put in, though.
I did. You had a full... There's like the very faintest
I can know. Can you not?
What is the alcohol in the Cointreau?
Cointreau and mead.
Oh, and the mead I think is very strong, isn't
it's
it?
It's 28%.
Yeah. Wow, those monks knew what they were doing. That's why they had those haircuts. They were drunk.
Tomorrow you wake up and you just have that
side there. Is it a spiced mead?
No, we went through this before. How dare you? It's Irish mead. Ireland, the only spice we had was parsley.
Okay.
You say parsnip.
Parsley. Parsnip as well.
Parsnip spice.
Oh, parsnips are very, yeah.
It's all spicy. Yeah.
Very spicy. Basically, I was like, I have some mead. I have some Cointreau. What can I make? Typed it into Google. Then she delivered with a mead mosa.
A mead mosa.
I love that the only alcohol I had in my cabinet was mead. I'm like, well, that's I've got the essentials, really.
It doesn't let you run out of the other ones.
Just hopping from solstice to solstice with you. Tom.
Yes.
How do you think you died?
Well, I've often thought about this, and I've often imagined it might involve being murdered. But today, just an assumption, I suppose, really, from talking too much. But then today, I got to thinking, actually, it's probably from listening to something like a musical too loudly, maybe Les Mis, Gages, as I like to call it. listening to Gages in my ears, too loudly, not paying attention as I'm crossing the road. I'm a maverick road crosser, I've said it before, and I'll step out in front of a bus, and I think the irony of me, the only time I'm caught on public transport is when I'm under a double-decker bus.
Being ploughed under it.
Yeah, probably, yeah. And the Number driver 19. Wouldn't even realise.
No.
Yeah.
Like, oh, watch out.
Yeah, what's that? We're bumping the road. Those potholes are terrible.
It'll be just like those fabulous hats. It'll just be like the witch in the House of Dolls. They'll just see the hat.
Oh, the hat just... Oh, yes. Thrown onto
the
pavement.
Shoes, the pavement.
Like, yes. Oh, that's all that'll
that's
be left.
That's where she died.
That's the... Wait. And they'll stop and that's all that'll be left under the bus is my leg sticking out. Yes,
then people
shoes.
Will come out and sing a little tune about...
Oh, I hope so. So yeah,
it will be at least it's one of those eco-friendly buses.
Yeah, hopefully. Like,
yes, I'll be furious. Yeah
he died planet. As he lived, carbon neutral.
So,
what that
is
means?
No, I'd love to have lived carbon neutral. Of course, carbon to carbon, dust to dust. Are we? is that okay to say that?
Yeah,
it's not too bleak, is it?
No, that's what we're going for.
I was trying to do something different to what I might have otherwise.
I think it did give us a therapeutic truth.
No,
like the slow death of regret and a stroke.
But you know what? I did have a dream the other day that I was dead. And maybe I was preempting.
Oh, this could go viral. Go on.
Well, I had a dream that I was dead, but I was conscious. And so I was just saying to people, like, I'm dead, but I need to get everything organised. I was trying to work out, you know, maybe getting rid of certain things or...
trying to arrange a classy wig.
Yeah.
Not the Broadway production of Les Mis.
I have... Who doesn't have a box under their bed labelled, if I'm dead, throw this in the fucking sea.
Don't ask any questions.
Don't ask any questions. Don't shake it. Just throw it in the sea.
Don't shake it.
What's that springing sound?
Why is it playing a tune?
It's a long way to...
I love that gay vision of that. Yeah. So for the look of the thing, to keep our funding, we have to mention torture.
Okay.
To you, what do you think is your personal hell?
I think it's being on a... It's being stuck in a room with two homosexual comedians who are funnier than I am. I think that's probably that's the night for
funnier
all
looking.
Eternity. That's the...
Well, you won't have that problem here.
Hell is other people. I think it might be... It's either that or it's being on a beautiful place and then someone turning up and playing their own music. For example, a beach I think is so beautiful. And I get so annoyed when people decide to play their tunes with their little portable speaker that they've charged up at home with a USB and they bring it down to the beach because they think we all want to listen to their Ibiza dance anthems. And I don't want to listen to their... I want to listen to the lovely sound of the waves. That's why I listen to that on a playlist I have on my phone to help me to sleep. Sorry.
I was on a beach mere months ago. There was some couple doing exactly that, and my boyfriend went, oh, they're playing Cicada. I think he meant Cascada.
Oh, but I thought you meant Tosca.
This is telling.
But I was trying to place where you were on the beach, what sort of beach you were on.
Five-star beach.
Five-star.
I thought you were going to say for your hell was like going to a cheese party where there's no carbohydrate. Do you remember that?
I love carbohydrates so much, but we did go to a lovely hotel. Dane and I were on...
Let's just acknowledge here that Dane has supported Tom on tour. Presumably I wasn't available at that moment.
Tom likes very funny comedians.
Yes,
so
they weren't available. I don't think... So, of course, he thought, I'll give the little people a chance.
I don't know if you were around. I'm sure you would have been...
He'd retired by then, I think.
Yes, I don't know if he would have been around.
The lighting safety issue with...
Well, I feel terrible because Dan and I once did a show back-to-back in Brighton, and I said, and Dan was walking off to the station, and I said, well, I've actually treated myself to a cab, why don't you jump in? And it was the most bonkers cab ride, and it looked like I was trying to murder Dan, as though I'd gone like, you're a gay comedian, maybe I need to get in the car, come on, drive.
I've never felt more car sick.
It was so awful, and I was just like, the whole time I was like, oh God, I thought, like, because I'd only met you, I think, once or twice before, and I was like, I thought I was doing a nice thing, we like making a journey back
well,
to London
easier. Well,
it was
lovely being, it was so lovely being in like a lovely car rather than a train.
It would have been so much easier to get the train. Both of us should have got the train. He was going in this like this bonkers direction.
And was furious that I was joining.
And I was like, maybe Dan could get out of, I don't know, maybe...
I was actually like, just drop me off at Tom's house. I'll get a taxi from there. And he was like, well, I just don't know how that's going
to go. And he was like, oh, I can't. I don't know where this... Oh, this road's closed. But we were in a lovely place in Wales, and the people who owned the hotel wanted to throw us a cheese and wine party, lovely. Which was literally that. No bread. Getting out lots of red wine.
So we allocated Tom to be like, could you put in a word about Brits? And Tom's going to be like, that's a lovely cheese. Pears lovely with a cracker. Do you remember
I wonder if you've got any. And the more drunk the host was getting, who'd like kept his whole family up to sort of like talk to them. I don't know if they were that bothered. And he was like, yeah, there's another bottle of red. Okay.
One of those good old fashioned gout parties.
Yeah, really was. Absolutely. Like, actually, yeah, my cholesterol has been a bit high since then. That up, really.
Okay. I think it's time we got down to business, and that is where we find out why you are here.
Okay.
Why do you think the devil's got you on her list? What are your worst qualities?
Now, I'm quite self-aggrandizing.
Okay.
I'm quite proud.
Yes.
I think I'm horrible, is why. And I'm trying to think of specific examples now, but I have been known to... I'm trying to serve a fish course.
My therapist, because I am exactly this as well, and she says a lot of gay men have a thing and where their sort of reaction to anything where they feel like power being taken from them is to become superior.
Yes.
Which I think is fabulous.
Oh my God, that's been my whole life.
I become very sneery, very eye-rolly, and very like, I mean, that's so
God's
true
sake.
Of you. But Tom...
I don't think you're not like that, though. Why are you doing?
No, I'm warm. I had two... No, but you're quite people-pleasing. You're quite sweet and nice.
People-pleasing? We're diagnosing, you know.
I'm a people-pleaser, I would say. It's just like...
Can you make sure you have the Irish mother quality of making sure everyone's okay in the room?
Oh, thank you for that. I suppose I do try and make sure everyone's got a bit of...
I'm trying to get more slots for your next tour,
Tom.
Yeah.
It's very messy. It's why, Dan.
You're very superior, very sneering. Very superior.
Well, I did have an experience where it's things like the airport, where I was going to do a tour show in Aberdeen, and I know I should have got the train there. I'm sorry, I'm not carbon neutral, but I thought it'll be easier, it'll be more reliable to get the plane there, because if one is cancelled, there'll be another one.
And also about one-fifth of the price.
Well, there is that as well. I mean, dare I say. And, you know, I was trying to maintain a certain status within British Airways. The executive club member. So, I didn't make the grade I wanted to make anyway, so that's fine. But there was a huge queue to go through security at Terminal 5 at Heathrow. Mm. Massive, like, out to the door. And I was like, well, I'm not going to make my flight at this rate. And then these people just casually walked along the line going like, yeah, this is closed now. You've all got to go and use the other end. And I was like, we'd already waited there for like half an hour or something.
Oh,
and so
God.
Then, like, 200 people then start having to run in that totally, like, mad way through an airport, getting to the other gate, which is the other one that's open.
Did you run?
Well, I did do I did that sort of like straight-legged walk.
Yes.
Quite fast.
Which is faster than any straight person sprint.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I could be in the Olympics. And then we got through, and then there were these people just standing around with their lanyards on. And I said, what are you doing there? People are very stressed here. What on earth is going on? And these people like looked at me and they were like, oh, sorry. I was like, well, it's not good enough to do that. There's lots of people very stressed
out.
I
love you. Oh. And you need someone like that in those situations.
See, that's the motherly energy
I met. Then the thing was, one of them recognised me. And then I had to switch. And then I had to go, well, thank you very much. And then the one who was the leader of the group, I would say, was like, I don't recognise you, but she says you're on the television. I was like... Thank you. She's like, well, smile. You may as well smile. And I was like,
may as well smile.
And I was like, you people are terrible. You treat us like animals.
Have you ever searched yourself on those things where air hosts, air stewards, talk about famous people. There's like a forum where they, and you can search for different celebrities' names.
Oh my god.
And it like has it, and it tells you which ones are nightmares and which ones are lovely. I'm planning on bribing.
Yeah.
I read someone on one of some internet forum where they were like, every time I get on a plane, even if I'm like in economy or something, I just bring diamonds. I get 5 or 6 £10 Starbucks vouchers, and I just give them to the flight crew on the way on, and what? I go, you guys work so hard. I just want to say how grateful we are. We've just got you, just so you can have a coffee on a stopover next time you're stopping over. And then they either get an upgrade, or they might not get an upgrade, but they do get treated like royalty.
Oh my goodness, that's,
I love that you've got a plan in place. But you know you'll be a bitch. Yeah. You know what I mean, on a plane.
You're preempting it.
I'm preempting me being a fucking nightmare.
Here's a £6 voucher. It has to be used.
Here's a B&M voucher.
You can only use in England, sorry.
You can only use it in the place you're leaving. And it has to be used by the end of tomorrow.
Here's 10% off tickets to my next show.
Yes. Okay.
So well, I think that's probably what I'll be punished for eternity for, is that, and then feeling bad afterwards and like, oh God. But I thought I was doing the noble thing in a way, but I just can't bear
it. I think it's needed. I don't think that's it's obviously an assertive quality, and it carries overtones of bitch, but it is also like, I think we all need that. We need some like.
Well, two things were bad though as well, because as I was speaking, I'd never shout, but I was speaking quite strongly.
I was screaming.
I think this is very bad that you're treating everyone like this. But of course, everybody else was then running behind me to get into the queue to go through the metal detectors, and I was like losing my place. So I was like, well, I think this is really bad, actually. Yeah. So I don't know why you're standing there and not helping people. And as I was like, well, and I don't know why you're not, and I think you should really help me. Anyway, think about yourselves. And then, of course, then it's like the roped off barrier that you have to walk around. But of course, it repeats back. So like,
zigzagging around.
And also, you're still stood there, I see.
Yeah, another thing, Miriam. Yeah.
I always do with my boyfriend, if I've had a go at him and I need to defuse, it's pretend to hitch my hand back up over my shoulder.
Oh, that's neat. Yes.
I have to give something to you. I am now quite drunk.
I'm
like
a little tipsy.
You've given me a smaller goblet here.
We ordered a red one because we thought it'd be more fabulous for the guests to have a hellish red, and it has arrived smaller.
It's fine. It makes my hands look bigger.
I think it's a more desirable size. Do you
know which one had the laxative in it, Tom? You think of all your needs. Speaking of which, what's the worst thing you've ever done that you're willing to own up to on this podcast, or as we like to call it, Wutwa Yedya Vedva Tip Tap Puta?
Why do you call it that?
Because it's just the initials of each letter. It's something we're workshopping as a format point.
Sorry. Yes. When I was in the school choir, I believe it was year 9, we did at Easter Andrew Lloyd Webber's Requiem. Classic.
Nice school.
Nice score. Yeah. Did you say nice score?
Yeah. School.
Nice school. Cool. Nice school. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Requiem. Yeah. I was not doing the Pai Jizu. Our music teacher was singing that.
I love that.
Charlotte Church Pai Jizu. And we were given a copy of it, and everyone had to label it. I picked up the wrong one by mistake, and I ended up with 2. But I was a bit shy. And then the following week they said, oh, Michael has lost his copy of the score. Does anyone have it? And I was too embarrassed to say, oh, I picked it up by mistake. But it went on every week. They were like, has anyone seen Michael's copy?
Poor boy, another copy.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's Requiem. They're like, because if it isn't handed in, poor Michael's going to have to pay £14.
Oh, God.
And it was the 90s, so it's probably like £4.95 then. Mm-hmm.
But in today's money, that's a mortgage.
Basically, you could buy an avocado for that. And I don't know. I'm conflating those things. But and I've always felt terrible about that. And every now and then I'll remember it and I'll go, oh, I should have owned up to it. But I was very shy at everything at that point.
Do you think he's speaking to his therapist? Be like, my score went missing and no one would.
No one would.
I never got to give my Pai Jizu.
And I knew, it must have read on my face, because they kept bringing it up sort of and I always felt like I was standing in the middle of the room whenever they said it. So I think they were aware that I put it in my eye.
Yeah, they're like, and has anybody?
Tom,
do you know anybody who might have done that? This was around about the same time that I would always, if we had PE before lunch and it was swimming, I'd just put my trousers straight on afterwards over my trunks.
Because I was slop around.
And I would just look like I'd pissed myself, because I thought that was better than having to take my trunks off in front of other people.
Oh, yeah, in front of the straight boys.
Yeah, why? I mean,
are you a... F- I think I'm right. You're a fellow posh sounding person that went to a state school.
Comprehensive, hello.
Very Swanmore College of Technology.
Oh, here. Which one? Which one, Dan?
Swanmore College of Technology.
Swanmore. Swanless, I think Swan they should have called it in your case, Dan.
The swimming pool at the school.
Swimming pool.
Yeah, we had a swimming pool. It gave everyone in year seven conjunctivitis because the ducks swam in it.
Oh, wow.
Filled it with shit. Wow. And they made us swim regardless.
What, it was alfresco?
It was an alfresco outdoor pool. Everybody had to swim.
You didn't grow up in London? No. I can tell that.
Wilds of Hampshire. Difference. Yeah. It was a... So did you travel to a swimming? Yeah.
No, we had one in the in the school, which the PTA had paid for. Years of saving. But the thing was, it was very narrow. It wasn't very wide at all, but quite relatively long. And so you had to line up along the long end of it, and then you sort of had to swim across.
Right.
But, and then there was just a bar that you were expected to hoik yourself out using.
A fat-shaming pool, basically.
Well, it was so awful because, you know, if you're in any way self-conscious, which I certainly was, I mean, it was awful trying to get out, and I couldn't. I'd have to like.
I just stay there. Did you just stay and chill? No.
I should have done. I wish.
I'll do maths from here.
Where do the straight kids get the upper body strength from? Because they could all like propel themselves out. Like
were they all doing like
their arms on the floor?
Dragging their knuckles around.
Sorry.
No, I just remember changing in secondary school and like making like a sort of middle-aged mother.
An up top towel
above the nipple towel.
Yes.
Down to the floor, changing, putting my things on.
Oh, because there's an episode of Call the Midwife where Dr. Sheila Turner, Dr. Turner's wife, Sheila Turner, Nurse Turner, is she a nurse? Anyway, Mrs. Turner.
Dr. Tina Turner.
Dr. Tina Turner is there. And she's made a changing cape for her child to take to the beach. And it's like a big dress.
Oh, fuck off. That's amazing.
And I thought that was a great idea. Why didn't I have one? But it would have been, even for me as a young person, would have been slightly too ostentatious.
I imagine that
would have invoked more aggression, I think.
What are those Victorian, like, palanquin things that they used to carry down to the sea?
Oh, those like Mrs. Brown.
So the ladies could then, like, open the wooden
door.
And in a red and white striped...
That's how I imagine you bathe. Just but in your house.
I'm a never nude. And even shower.
That's
like
how you're born into the world.
So yes, it was unbearable. But I don't know, and also that's how I got to know my scales, my piano scales, because I would recite them in my head to avoid getting overexcited whilst looking at the other.
Oh my gosh! I just had to change in a corner and not look at all the rugby boys.
Not with the changing, just in the swimming pool. That was even in the swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
But the changing was much more frantic, quick.
Oh yeah.
But you just had to not look at them.
I just stayed in a corner. Just did. So that I won't turn around and look at. Name redacted for the Tom.
Yes.
It's the 21st century. We consider the seven deadly sins to be hugely outdated. Now that the gays have gentrified hell, we have a little Waitrose, we have a Pret. We're giving the seven deadly sins a makeover. We talked about pride earlier. I think it's a good thing to have a little bit of pride.
Comes before a fall, though, doesn't it? And that's what I'm going to start.
And who doesn't love
a fall pride?
Who doesn't love fall?
Well, who doesn't love the fall?
So let's go to Connecticut and let's just enjoy that. What new sin for the 21st century would you like to add to the list?
I can't remember exactly all. I know that sloth and envy are amongst
sloth the seven. And envy, lust, gluttony.
Of course, gluttony, of course. A gluttonous attitude towards lust is the worst.
Everybody, I'm scoffing. On.
I would say my eighth deadly sin is putting your feet up on the opposite seat on a public piece.
Yes.
We don't do it.
Do you do that? You put your feet up?
I've put a metro there to shield my foot.
That's acceptable. I think as well, within it is a sense of disregard for other people. If you're not putting a metro or something similar down to rest your foot on, that's considering the situation.
Yeah.
People who just, you know, like, put their shoes, I just think it's so rude.
Yeah.
I'm finding a video to show you, Tom, which is one of my favourite videos on the internet.
It's me with my shoes up on
It's you. Your shoes. No, it is... It is. Please press play on this and enjoy it. This is a woman.
I have seen one before.
This is a woman with her shoes off on the train. She's reading her book. She's in her own world.
Oh my goodness. Is this in the UK?
Yeah, I believe so. She's picking.
Oh my.
She's picking her feet.
Oh my.
Oh my God, I know this video. You sent it to me.
Oh, she's putting it in her mouth.
She's like twisting.
Oh God.
She's. I think she's in her own world. She doesn't even know what's happening.
Oh,
she's,
oh my God.
In your what is this own world? Where
this
you,
is. Yeah, yeah. This is clearly what she does at home. She doesn't realize people. She's doing this in public.
Yeah.
She's scraping dead
You'll
skin
never
off
get
her
that
foot.
Out of your head now.
That's reading one of the worst things I've ever seen.
And just stuffing.
And I saw cat.
Isn't it ghastly?
Damn, that's horrible.
Isn't it
metro.co.uk?
I think anything foot related. That happens on a train is unforgivable.
Absolutely.
I completely agree
but
with you.
I just think it's, again, a sense of, and I realise, I know I'm a bit Edwardian, but I just think we should all just be a bit more considerate of other people. And I think being inconsiderate of other people, I think, is one of the things that I do think is a terrible sin. Like, I do think it's a terrible
I agree.
Quality.
I think people shouldn't have feet. If we all had a nice hoof.
That's because you watch The Little Mermaid.
Yes. If we just had to visit a farrier once every 2 to 6 months.
It's crazy they don't have that awareness, though. I'm so aware on the train. Like, I would need to look beautiful for the public, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously.
I think it's Tom Ford who says dressing up nicely is a show of respect to the people around you. And I sort of think that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
mean, totally agree.
Just neatly, I suppose. But also, I think, because did you grew up in London?
Yeah, you Harrow.
Oh, you're Harrow, so you're similar to me, like outskirts, commuter towns.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. Zone 5, Harrow?
Middlesex, Zone 5.
Zone 5, Could be a Shire County, could be
Doesn't know
Greater
what it
London.
Is.
Doesn't know what it is. I love that. But public transport there, people are often quite dour, look quite serious.
Yeah, they do.
But
yeah.
I think it's just their way, I've realised, of sort of making themselves invisible a bit. You know, I'm in my little space here, and you're in your space. I don't want to be a big presence here, because then you have to be aware of me. If I'm very quiet and make myself small, then you can...
But also, I don't want to do anything that welcomes chat.
Yes, I don't want to. Yes, I don't want to have a conversation. I don't want to. I just want this moment to myself when we're all travelling together. So I do think there is something about that I think is quite underrated. Yeah. That sort of just being mindful.
Our journey home is going to be lovely but silent, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, I can't wait for it.
When Tom invites us to drive with his new mad driver. Tom, each week on this podcast, we invite our listeners to write in with their confessions and grievances, and then we judge them.
We would love
to invite you to adjudicate with us this week.
I would love to do that. Of course, they didn't need to write in for me to judge them.
No, of course you've judged them. We think you're trash. All right. Dane, do you want to be mother?
Yeah. I'll start with mine and with a little sip out of me cocktail.
I say this as well. Do you want to be mother? But it doesn't... What does it actually mean? It just means taking control of it. I was thinking it was like handing out the cake or something.
You pour the tea.
Pouring the tea.
Would you like to be slightly too clingy and turn me gay?
I would. I'd like all of those things. Dear Daniel and Dane, they've once again got the order wrong there.
Order precisely right there.
In the 90s, when working in an office where I hated my colleagues, I noticed that the kettle had a cockroach in it. I didn't tell anyone or remove it.
Oh my goodness.
I did stop drinking hot drinks and watch my colleagues drink their tea made from cockroachy water for another 5 weeks before someone else noticed. Am I the demon?
Gosh, how did they fill up the kettle? Maybe it was an urn. Was it a tea urn? Were they working in the women's...
Sort of
sometimes they have those kettles that, like, in local councils, like the Valley of the Lost, no one's ever opened.
I can identify with this because I fill up the kettle from the spout.
Through the spout?
Oh, you're one of them.
Oh, you're a spout entry.
I'm a spout entry. Famous spout entry.
I thought
and
I knew
that. In my old flat, pigeons used to enter through the window whenever they like.
Sorry, show me the pigeons.
Come on in through the window, which I didn't love, but they would only sort of circle on the windowsill and then leave.
Yeah.
But one day, I opened the kettle fully to sort of do a limescaling, and there were 3 feathers in the kettle. And I was like, I've been drinking feather soup.
But maybe sometimes... Sorry.
I was going to say, sometimes a feather is a relative.
This
is the Irish coming out in your mind.
That will be 3 dead relatives coming to be
I love
boiled
that's
alive.
That's
Please boil us.
So I can...
Which is how they... 3 of your relatives did die.
That's
that way,
how they passed, very sadly. Yeah.
What are the chances, Dane? You see? There you go.
I think...
Also, I was going to mention acupuncture there, because recently went for acupuncture for the first time.
Did it?
And the man said, your water. Your water.
Oh, because I'm fire.
Ah, that's interesting, Dan. Do you know what you are?
Oh, you've had yours done. Oh, my God, I'm so
How embarrassing.
And all he kept saying was, like, your water. Your water. I said,
you'd be stone, I think.
Or some sort of gas.
There's nothing there.
Where's he gone? Sorry, Dan, I interrupted you there.
No, I'm fascinated by the water thing. How do you feel
when you're from
water?
Zone 5, Daniel, these are the kind
of things,
you
do. Actually, it was an acupuncturist in Hampshire.
Was it? Where in Hampshire?
Hook.
I'm so sorry. I think this person... I mean, obviously there's something quite hideous about doing that to everybody. But if you hate them, I'm assuming they have good reasons for hating them.
Yes, you must hope.
And therefore, I think, good for you. Bit of vengeance. I'm not above revenge.
Also, I think, like, in an office, sometimes you have that shit about where's your £2 a month milk money and all of that.
Yes, bullshit. Are they like, yes, I wonder what sort of people they were. Yeah. They must have been pretty much, pretty awful, I think, to want to punish them in any way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Yeah. Should they? So we have to assume this writer is, in fact, perfect themselves.
Yeah, if this is a perfect person, then I'm okay with them serving cockroach soup. Also, I'm assuming this person is American to have cockroach. Do we have cockroaches here?
We do, but they're smaller.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then it could be a Brit. But if it's American, I think then...
Oh, would Americans do Americans
it's quite
have
glamorous
kettles?
To have a kettle, don't have kettles.
No, they don't
kettles,
really.
Do they? But I mean, maybe they did in this office.
No, I think
maybe it's sort of a non-profit
England.
And they have herbal tea.
Maybe they worked at NPR.
We have smaller... Yeah, they're smaller here, but yeah.
I was in New York, a few months ago, and...
Why were you there? Sorry,
I was just doing my show in New York. And when I arrived... I was just doing my sold-out show in New York.
Sold-out.
When I arrived, a centipede crawled out in my room, and it was, I kid you not, thicker than my thumb.
Wow.
Their cockroaches in New York are like... Centipedes. They are like thumb thickness.
How long?
Well, you have small little thumbs.
Thank you very much.
I didn't mean to compliment you.
Okay, well, let's move on. I think this person, yes, the demon, but possibly not in a contextual...
Do you know what? I wouldn't accept... I would look in a kettle myself. Wherever I drink, I'd look in a kettle before drinking, so...
Yes, I would pour. I would lift the lid.
Yeah.
I would lift the
lid. I would too, Tom.
Fucking lid.
Yeah, well, lift the lid, co-workers.
Lift the lid.
Colleagues.
Find out if you're fire, water, or stone.
Yeah.
Are you fire, water, or stone, or the other one? Did they say co-workers or colleagues?
Colleagues. They said.
I think they're Brits. But,
Yes.
I don't know. It's difficult to know. But,
enjoy your drink anyway, Tom.
Is anyone else a bit drunk off this?
Yeah, well, I'm giddly.
You have to remember that my baseline is... probably a bit higher than you.
Have you returned to level?
Yeah, anything. I suddenly feel alive for the first time today.
There's definitely something, like I believe there's alcohol in it now. Okay, I'm going to read a letter. Dear Daniel and Dane, I was seeing a man for about 3 months.
Who was the man? Where was it? Was he at the end of your bed?
Seeing him when I was in Waitrose. He was thrifty. Things were going reasonably well. Mm. We had quite a lot in common, went on good dates, and he came over mine a couple of times for some decent... want to be so lucky. For some decent, if a little drunken, sex. However, on date 9, it's quite far, red flags started to appear. He invited me over to his flat, and I immediately noticed that above his bed was a portrait of himself photoshopped to look like Winston Churchill.
Wow.
Even worse, during sex, our first time doing it sober, I noticed that he kept licking his lips in what he thought was a sexy way, but reminded me of a middle-aged woman enjoying a yogurt.
We've all been there.
Finally, after I'd faked an orgasm, he proceeded to come on my very expensive brocade throw.
Hang on, this was at his house?
His house.
This writer takes their own brocade throw.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is you, Tom.
You travel with your own brocade. Okay, I'll come to yours, but I will be bringing my brocade.
Maybe they meant like a
what
jacket?
What is a brocade throw, actually?
Brocade is that sort of...
like candlewick.
Dimpled fabric, isn't it?
Oh, that's brocade.
You know, that sort of like...
not boucle.
No, I think it's like what... in Shakespearean... you know when Shakespearean men have those jackets?
Oh, like a sort of military kind of thing, is
well,
it?
Well, I think, yeah, with a sort of dimpling velvety kind of...
Oh, okay.
I think I could be completely wrong. Right in. Do call in if you know what brocade is. Well maybe it's a coat. Maybe they've not...
Anyway, it's a
anyway, I ghosted him for 3 days and then dumped him by text. Am I the demon?
Well, I think there's a lot to talk about there.
The Winston Churchill portrait is giving me incel.
Right.
Above the bed as well.
Above the bed.
I can understand like a sort of fight them joke on the beach. Self. In a downstairs toilet.
Yeah,
exactly.
Silly,
like a caricature. Like
and also those, like maybe Henry VIII or something, but Winston Churchill.
Also a middle-aged woman enjoying a yogurt. Is this?
Oh, don't, Dan, don't.
Oh, that's damn. Not your it's pleasure not my, face, is it?
Which is, no. My pleasure face is this. for the listener, I just did nothing. She faked an orgasm. He cummed on something expensive.
Which we know is a
reciprocate throw. Yeah.
Which we know to be the throw that this person brought to their lover's flat. And then, well, I guess the ghosting and the dumping, it's gone bad.
Yeah.
The sex was bad.
Yeah.
They went into it.
But they are 9 dates in and they've ghosted, which I think is for debate.
I think you're right. I think that's a point where, I don't know.
I think the breakup is fine.
Yeah.
Fine to be like, oh, that, I'm turned off by you now. Ick.
We're not compatible.
The ghosting, I've been ghosted. Nothing, a short, sharp dumping, you get over in a few days or years. A ghosting drives me doolally.
But
I was going to go on. I think you're going to say what I was thinking.
I have gifted some of my fans on Grindr that I do work with. I work, do outreach work with them. And
is that what you call your dating life?
Yeah.
Outreach. Outreach.
It's day centre, yeah.
I've been like, look, I've tried, like, I'm not feeling this, or it's not really worked out for me. And there's a to and fro, but why not? But this, but this, but this, but this, but this. And then I'm like, well, now I think I know why people ghost. You know,
well,
in a way.
I think there is something. I don't think it's always bad to be ghosted, because somebody saying, like, oh, I just see us as friends or something,
yeah,
it's obviously a lie.
Yeah.
I don't want any more friends. And so the idea of that, I think somebody saying, I just don't like you.
Yeah.
I don't find you attractive is essentially what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's quite painful, I've found, in my many experiences of it. So I think...
There is a pure honesty in the ghosting, isn't
In the
there?
Ghosting of just, like, actually... They haven't got involved. They're not around. They're not around. Okay, that's
But your
fine.
Head does crazy things where you go, they've not received my text.
Yeah,
you get friends to send you texts.
If you really like them, then yes.
Yeah. I am a master breakupper, to the point that I have written at least 20 breakup texts for friends. And breakup
Who didn't want to break up with them.
Who did not want to, but I forced
you
them.
You suggested.
And grab that phone.
What you do is say many compliments. So you would be like... for whatever reason, and really annoying. But
sorry, I thought you said literally many compliments in a sort of...
You would say many compliments, however.
Very sort of florid kind of diplomatic language.
Very formal.
Present many compliments to you.
Dear sir or madam. No, I would go, you are... It's like really annoying for whatever reason. It just, for me, feels like there's not a spark there. But objectively, you are very sexy. And I've had a lovely...
Objectively, you are very sexy.
No, objectively, you are very... It sounds like an
Objectively,
AI.
You are very sexy.
Objectively, you
say,
are sexy.
I would say compliment their appearance, compliment the times you've had together. For whatever reason, there's just not a spark.
Yeah.
But then they know when it's over.
Mm.
They've always got the message. It's just our insecurity, but maybe their phone signal didn't work. Honey, they've got your message.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Okay, I'm anti-ghost because it's driven me mad. However, if they've come on something velvet, they're gone. Fuck them.
Okay.
You do whatever you like to
fuck
them.
Fuck it.
Do you think, I'm going back to my previous thing about disposing of a body. I want to know how they got the stain out. Because...
Well, it's got to be salt and cold water, doesn't it?
Is it? Bicarb of soda?
Maybe.
We don't know. Yeah. That's the letter I really
Who amongst
to
these three gay men could possibly say?
Or do you just brush it out when it's dry?
That's the name of your next autobiography,
isn't it? Yeah.
Brush it out when it's dry. Last but not least, Tom, before we process you into the Inferno proper, a name I used to dance under, we do ask new arrivals...
That's in Clapham, isn't it?
It is. We do ask new arrivals to answer a quick-fire Hellfire eligibility survey.
Okay.
First answers only.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Of course.
It's multiple choice.
Always.
So. Oh. Maximalist or minimalist?
Minimalist.
Espresso or Frappuccino?
Espresso.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Maggie Smith or Meryl Streep?
Maggie Smith.
Costa or Pratt?
Pratt. Starter or main?
Starter.
Stylish or comfortable?
Stylish.
Friends or Will and Grace?
Will and Grace.
Jamie or Nigella?
Jamie.
Daniel or Dane?
I can't answer.
You only hired one of them, I think.
I can't
his
answer.
Eyes,
that.
His mouth said, I can't answer that, but his eyes said, Daniel. Forgiveness or revenge?
Forgiveness.
Fiction or autobiography?
They're both the same.
Would you punch a child for £1 million?
Yes.
Excellent.
I would have answered every single one of those the same, apart from, I would say, revenge. Tom, welcome to hell. You are through the fiery gates.
Thank you so much.
Here are your keys to your maisonette on Joan Crawford Street.
Oh, I love
And that is the end of the episode. Tom is currently on tour across the UK with his show Completely, with dates running until the 8th of June. You can find tickets on his website at tomindeed.com.
Many thank you.
If you like this, be sure to check back for new... I'm so drunk. If you liked this, be sure to check back for new episodes every Thursday. And if you want to earn yourself a VIP place in hell, why not subscribe to our Patreon? You'll get extended guest episodes, for example, find out how Tom Allen would dispose of a body, and extra bonus episodes every month with prices starting at just 75 pence per week. What is a pence, Dane?
The little metal things you love to throw at children, huh?
That's right, yeah. That's correct.
But what we'd love more than anything is for you to spread the word, get those fork tongues flicking, tell your friends about our podcast, spread the word, leave a little review. We invite you to leave up to a 5-star review. If you leave anything less than that, Dan will age again.
I will age at a rate of knots. And as always, if you want to submit any confessions or grievances for our infernal judgment, you can write to us at judgment@hellpod.com, send us a message on socials @thehellpod, or use the anonymous form on our website, hellpod.com.
Thank you, as always, to Spotify, the gorgeous people here, for allowing these gorgeous studios, and also to the angels who made our beautiful theme song and our jingle, Auburn Jam.
See you next week.
Bye. Say goodbye, Thomas.
Oh, well, bye.